And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, positive talk radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, but before we get to today's theme, I want to remind you about the poll that is up on my website. I ask a simple yes-no question. The question of the week is this: will the California primary be important in deciding the Republican nominee for president in 2012, or will it already have been decided by the time they come to California? Log on to my website, brainstormingonline.com, cast your vote, yes or no. You'll be able to see the interim results as soon as you vote, and then I'll announce the overall results on next Thursday's show. That's all up on my website, brainstorming, S-T-O-R-M-I-N, online.com. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is potpourri. Each of my guests is discussing an interesting topic, no two of which are related. My next guest has been honored in Simon Schuster's Top 100 Psychics in America, Who's Who in America, Who's Who in the World, and Who's Who in Television. We'll discuss ways to communicate with departed loved ones from her latest book, Seven Steps to Heaven. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Joyce Keller is an internationally known visionary, an author, television host, and radio host, and a media personality. She's the author of 6 best-selling books. She's been a columnist for Lifetime Television and is a certified hypnotherapist who safely and successfully led thousands of people overcome weight problems and many other human difficulties. Joyce has been honored, as I said, in Simon & Schuster's Top 100 Psychics in the World. Her latest book is titled 7 Steps to Heaven, How to Communicate with Those Who Have Who We've Loved and Lost. She's also the host of America's longest-running live intuitive advice show, The Joyce Keller Show, which has been on the air since 1987 on New York's WGBB 1240 AM. She's also streaming over the internet as well. She's been a popular repeat host with Regis on Oprah, Geraldo, True TV, Entertainment Tonight, and on numerous radio and TV shows around the country. Welcome to the show, Joyce. How are you today?
My goodness, what an introduction. Thank you, Bill.
Well, thank you for being my guest. I'm really pleased to have you on the show because you are very well known in this particular area. And I got to tell you right up front, you know my birth date, so you know that I'm a Virgo. I am chronically skeptical. And in this case, I question the notion of whether we can even communicate with the afterlife. I mean, you look at it, some of the facts, after all, two of the world's best known names in this area, Harry Houdini and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, they were unable to communicate after Houdini passed away. And they really wanted to do this. I mean, this was a goal of theirs. So in what ways can one experience after death communication?
You know, with regard to their lack of communication, it has to do with our own vibrations. And if we're not in the right mindset, or if we're at all skeptical, or God knows what the factors are, it's different for every single person, it's simply not going to work. So, I'm sorry, what was your first question, Bill?
Well, the basic question is, how do we communicate with the departed ones? I mean, you have to believe, and certainly Harry Houdini and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle did, but how do we communicate? How do you experience this after-death communication?
Okay. Well, you know, it's different for everyone. The basic rule, I guess, that applies across the board is that there has to be a stilling of the mind, which is known as meditation. If you think about a cloudy, murky body of water, like a lake that's very stirred up with mud and stuff from the bottom, people have been swimming in it, it's very active, you're not going to be able to see down to the bottom. However, if things calm down and no one is swimming and it's all nice and peaceful, you can see every little pebble at the bottom of the lake, assuming it's not too deep. So it's a matter of stilling the mind, quieting the mind, letting it come in. But you know what, Bill? The really odd thing is that there are no rules. And it could be it could happen to the most skeptical person, a person who absolutely doesn't believe in anything. And God can simply come along and say, I'm going to give you a present today. And you can suddenly see or know or feel the presence of a departed loved one. The basic rule, though, is meditation, stilling of the mind. That's the first thing.
All right.
And the desire helps a lot, the desire to communicate. The greatest block comes from grief. If we lose someone, we love them, we're crying, we're carrying on, going to the cemetery, all of that, it's very counterproductive.
All right. Grief is counterproductive. My guest is Joyce Keller. And Joyce, in your answer there, you mentioned God. Does one have to believe in God to be effective with your system or to be effective at all communicating with the afterlife?
No, you don't have to believe in anything. But you know what? If you put God in there and you put God to your soul and spirit, and you wish to surround yourself with that godlike light, it's going to be uplifting, and you're going to be in a safer, better place. And I use that word safer for a good reason. Hmm. You're opening a door, and when that door opens, you really need to be in a good place.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the whole safety issue, because that was one of my questions. Is it safe to do this, to, you know, to communicate with departed ones? And immediately I think of Poltergeist as sort of the model there. It scares the pants off of me.
No, it's not necessarily safe. And I'm the first one to say that. And I'm sorry I sound a little hoarse today, Bill. It's just that it's cold in New York, and we're expecting snow, and I really don't want to be here. So my voice is kind of shutting down. Yeah, you think about movies like Poltergeist and movies like that. It's definitely true, because there are so many unknown universes and unknown, there's so much unknown energy around us. So you really have to keep yourself in a safe, good, protected area. And that's why I use the name God. And that energy is very, very important, because you are opening a door. And that's why Ouija boards and a lot of types of fooling around, seances, pretend seances and so forth, really can be tricky. So be aware of what you're doing. Either have a good teacher who works with you, someone you can really trust, or get some books. There are many books out there, not just mine, many good books that will take you by the hand and lead you safely through this path. And even after we cross over and we go into what's known as the state of death, and I use that word cautiously, because I don't think it's death at all. I think it's a change of energy. You again have to have an awareness of what you're doing. You can't just go into the death state, because again, it's fraught with a lot of temptations, a lot of hazards along the way. You want to go into the clear light as quickly and smoothly as you can. And in most cases, people do, because we have angels and guides to work with us.
Well, I want to talk in more depth about that. My guest is Joyce Keller. She's author of the book, 7 Steps to Heaven, How to Communicate with Your Departed Loved Ones in 7 Easy Steps. Boy, there was so much in that last answer. It was a very, very rich answer. But I guess I want to start with the fact that you talked early on about vibrations, and then you talked about energy fields and so forth. A lot of people in the metaphysical expertise talk about vibrations. They talk about energy. Why are vibrations universally accepted as what the universe seems to manifest?
What a good question. You thought of these questions yourself with your own Virgo mind?
Yes, I did.
That's great. Well, the vibration is important. Our vibration is very important, because when we get rid of our physical bodies, all that's left is vibration and energy. So I think energy and vibration and the non-seen and the invisible is much more important than what you can see, what you can relate to. Because as we raise our vibrations, we're capable of so much more. You know, the whole thing comes down to, Bill, a very, very simple thing. When you have an electric fan, say with 4 blades,
mm-hmm.
and if the fan is not turned on, you can see the blades. It's a pretty low vibration. Once the blades start turning, the faster they turn, the more invisible they become, until they're totally invisible. And that's what raising our energy and raising our vibrations through meditation, through good work, through prayer, through upliftment of the spirit, all the ways we choose to do it. You know, you can raise yourself away from the physical density of what we see every day. And right now, the energy on the planet is very questionable, and the energy on the planet has to be raised.
Now, how do our leaders go about helping us to raise that energy? I mean, that you've just brought up a very intriguing point. A lot of people are feeling bummed out about the world's economic situation, the world's political situation. How do we raise our consciousness, raise our vibration, so we can get to a higher place?
Beautiful, beautiful question, Bill. Thank you. Well, you know, for one thing, you have to be aware of what people want. I mean, Obama went into Harlem last night, and he relieved them of over $3 million. I don't want this to be political, but I want to say that. Now, these people are mostly on food stamps, unemployment, and welfare. You go in there, you relieve people of all that money. What's really going on? That's money so he can campaign for his next run for office, president, which we know he's going to win, because he can't lose. I mean, it's so tied up for him. So I think you have to have an awareness and conscience of what people really want. What are they looking for? You don't go into Harlem and take $3 million. That doesn't seem right, because if you've been to Harlem lately, as I have, you know there are broken windows, burned-out buildings. Come on. So I don't know if that was the answer to your question.
Well, and it's an interesting answer to the question, know what people want. And then you mentioned, just in passing, that Obama is a shoo-in for the next election. Now, what makes you say that?
Well, because, as you can see, he knows his finger's on the pulse of what people want. He's telling people again exactly what they want to hear. He's making promises. Well, you know, how about standing on the record of what's actually happening? Unemployment has never been higher. People have never been... See, I do readings, so I know exactly what people want. They want jobs. They need money. They're losing their homes. You don't give money to banks when people are losing their homes and going into foreclosure. So we're all struggling in the country, and he has to know this. And you shouldn't be reelected when the country is in such disarray. You need someone who cares. So I think that's the answer to what you're asking.
All right. My guest is Joyce Keller. We're actually talking about her book, The Seven Steps to Heaven. And, Joyce, you've laid out these seven steps. I just want to talk about a couple of them. I'm going to read them off very quickly. Call on your angels and spirit teachers, prayer and affirmations, meditation, which you've already talked about, dreams, a spirit space, sound, and a labyrinth. And I want to elaborate on some of these in some detail, starting with angel and spirit teachers. Do we all have angel and spirit teachers? How do we know we have them? Does everybody have a guardian angel like It's a Wonderful Life lead you to believe?
Yes, to all of the above. And absolutely, and Bill, there's no way we could go through this mire of confusion on the earth if we didn't have assistance. And that goes with us from lifetime to lifetime. Usually it's very much the same guidance. They don't change a lot unless our energies change. Like if you have a new project, say you're starting to work on a book, a new guide will come in, or someone who can have that, has had that past life experience to work with us. Angels often don't have names. They're pure energy, pure light. They don't manifest an answer to your question. Do we usually know who they are? No, the answer is no, we don't. Unless there's a cataclysm or an emergency and they need to guide us, then they will manifest. You might see them as a person or as an energy or a flash of light. They will really let you know that they're there and take you by the hand. Now you can say, well, why do accidents occur? They're within our soul's necessity or karmic purpose. So there's usually a reason for everything.
All right. Now, help me with this, because, as again, I'm coming back to my Virgo side here and being the skeptic.
Good for you.
But if we all have energy forces, guardian angels, if you will, that follow us around, the arithmetic has never worked out for me. Because if you believe that, you know, that there were two people in the beginning and it was Adam and Eve and we propagated and now we're up to 7 billion people on the planet, if you just look back over history, there aren't enough souls that have gone before us for each of us to have our own spirit guide, because now there's 7 billion of us running around.
Excellent question. Again, I can't believe you think of these things yourself. Bill, I would say that who's keeping count?
Well, I'm just trying to do the arithmetic. That's
okay.
All.
I agree with you. I'm there with you 100%. Beautiful, beautiful question. Well, the fact is that now is such an important time on the planet. It's like a big show of what's really going on. So many souls have been allowed to incarnate at this time and encouraged to incarnate because there are so many worthwhile lessons occurring, which are not necessarily fun lessons, but they're important soul records. This is just one big, huge school. So who's to say how many can incarnate? Why not billions? Who can, you know, if God is creating more energy and splitting off souls and they're coming in from oversouls and from other dimensions, you know, anything is possible. And it's so hard to know what the real rules are. I think there are no rules. And what's being created now is what we need on the planet at this time, an overload and a lack of water, a lack of food, an awareness of what's going on. A lot of people are still keeping their heads buried and not dealing with the truth of what's going on. We need to have an understanding of what's really happening.
I couldn't agree more. My guest is Joyce Keller, author of the book Seven Steps to Heaven. Now, Joyce, another one that's in your list is sound. You and I are both talkers on the radio, so sound is extremely important to us.
Yes.
Explain what you mean by sound and why that's one of the seven steps in order for you to get in contact with departed loved ones.
When you say sound, are we talking about tuning forks? I really don't remember what I wrote.
Oh, it's between, you have to create a spirit space, which is that safe space that you talk about, and then you have to be open to the various sounds. Specifically, I'm talking about draw your senses with the resonance of sound.
Oh, okay, beautiful. Because it's a fact of attunement, and as we raise our higher vibration through meditation or filling the mind or also through service, that works very well, too. You can have an awareness of the sound current, which is the force of creativity. And as you tune more and more into that sound current, you will have more and more spirit awareness, and it'll be on a very high vibration. So I don't know. That's a very. I know you only have a short amount of time with me today, so I'm trying to give the short form to very, very complicated, layered answers. I love your sense of humor. I love the fact, Bill, that you bring humor into whatever you do.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And this has been a fascinating interview, but I've got to get to the point of the question is this. What do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Seven Steps to Heaven, Joyce?
We're not physical. We're not just physical. We're so much more. We're so complicated. And what you see in each lifetime is just the tip of the iceberg. It's just a small portion. We're very, very complicated. We need to get to know who we are and who our Creator is.
Oh, that is a great message. My guest has been Joyce Keller, author of the book Seven Steps to Heaven, How to Communicate with Your Departed Loved Ones in Seven Easy Steps. Joyce, if you have piqued the interest of some of my listeners, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Okay, it's very simple. My website is joycekeller.com. Everything is in there. And if there's any question, they can email me, joycekeller@mindspring.com. My radio shows are always almost always live, which I think is the greatest proof of integrity. If you have a psychic show and they're saying, you know, we'll tape it and we'll play it 10 hours later, they're tweaking, they're fixing their mistakes. I fly freely and loosely by the seat of my pants and very live.
Oh,
so
and
JoyceKeller.com.
JoyceKeller.com, and there is nothing like live radio, is there, Joyce?
Nothing.
Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstormin'. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Bill.